Hey guys, this episode is powered by the Green Up Academy. If you guys are looking for courses, community, or coaching for your green industry business, we are the one-stop shop to get that done with myself and soon other green industry leaders. So if you guys are struggling, if you're at a crossroads in your business, if there's some issues you have, I had a guy this week ask about a P&L and how to read that properly. There's so many great things. Or if you're just looking for community, the Green Up Academy, guys, has been transformational for many, and it can be transformational for you. So hit us up at thegreenupacademy.com and join us. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the Green Up Academy podcast with Alex Kirby, where we focus on helping you level up your green industry business. Whether it's marketing, finance, employees, or strategy, we talk about everything on this show to help you apply it to your business and change your family and company's future for decades to come. Here's your host, Alex Kirby.
What's up, everybody? Alex here, Green Up Academy Podcast. Thank you so much for always being a listener. Today, we have an awesome, awesome discussion and show with Mr. Dustin Pinley from Conover, which is basically Hickory, North Carolina, if you guys know where that is. It's right above South Carolina, really great area, beautiful, got some mountains, great weather, very, very good market. And Dustin's someone that I've been interested to talk to ever since I met at Equip Expo in 2023, because he has a lot of the values and experience that I think can be beneficial for every listener of this show. He's been in business 20 plus years, which is not normal in this industry, so that's huge. He's a man of faith. He's a man of integrity. He's a family man. He loves his wife and kids. And I think there's not enough of us, sadly, who have understood how to balance faith, business, and family. And I feel like Dustin's done a pretty awesome job at that. So we just have a discussion, you know, on this episode. We really don't like to interview. We like to discuss. And Dustin, I am so thankful that you joined us today. So you guys are going to want to sit down on your mower, at your desk, do whatever work you're doing, and make sure you listen to this episode, because Dustin, one thing I love about him is not only is he really smart, he's also humble enough to listen. And so we have a really fun back and forth conversation here. So y'all buckle up and let's get going. So Dustin, you're basically in Hickory. Is that, tell me where you're at. No, you're not in Hickory. Tell me where you're at.
My shop is in Conover, which is, it's about 10 minutes from Hickory. The majority of our work is in Hickory.
Do you know Aaron Loader from L3?
I know of the business. I've never spoke to him. Okay. I have spoke to Sawyers, which I believe was one on your previous podcast. Mm-hmm. But I do see all those guys around.
You need to connect with Aaron. He's a good Christian guy.
Good deal.
He's a cool dude. He's got, I think he has like 6 kids, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got a lot.
Yeah, so Dustin, he just picked up.
Say it one more time.
He just picked up a HOA right above one of my large HOAs, so I've seen him and his guys there recently.
Yeah, we've been doing marketing for him for the whole time, and he's an awesome guy. But anyway, so Dustin, thank you for being on today. I'm really excited to talk to you, because it's not often that I get to talk to a lot of guys with like a lot of experience. As you know, there's a lot of new guys these last few years because of YouTube and COVID and all that stuff. So I don't know if I know more than about 5 guys off the top of my head that have been in the game 15, 20 plus years, and you've been doing it 22. So can you share the story of how you got started, what you did before, why you started mowing grass, and then what that's kind of looked like over the last 20 years till today?
Yeah, for sure. I live and work where I live now is right near where I grew up. I've been around here all my life. I went to a local community college and got a degree in horticulture right after high school.
Oh, sweet.
Associates. And from that point, I went to work for a local company as a work co-op while in college. And then after that, I stayed with them. They're a pretty large outfit. I would say they're probably somewhere around 3 mil. And at that time, they weren't that large. He was still kind of smaller, and we didn't agree on some things. But I stayed with him, and I moved up rather quickly. I was only there a year, and I moved up and became like kind of over the 3 maintenance crews that he had.
Yeah.
And at that point, I felt like I needed some more money just because I had that responsibility. And I was over, some of the guys I was over were making more money than me. I know I hadn't been there long, but I felt like I deserved more because I had more responsibility.
Yeah.
And in 2001, he offered me a quarter more on the hour. And that was kind of like an insult. And I told him, yeah. I said, well, I appreciate your offer, but I just don't think it's enough and I'm going to give this a shot. So I actually started as a partnership with another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that only lasted about 3 months. Mm-hmm. We both split and went our different ways. We had different objectives. So we both took our own businesses and went with them, and he's been successful. He's not even in the green industry anymore. Now he does pools, but I stayed with it. I did work just doing primary my business, trying to push it for the first 6 months, and I realized that it was going to be tough to do that. Even though I was still living at home, the finances weren't coming in that needed to be. So I took on a second shift job and worked second shift for about 5 years just trying to build the business.
Man, that's a great idea. Hold on. I've never thought about that. Second shift, those hours are like 3 to 10, 3 to 11, right?
At the place, it was a trucking terminal, and I loaded trucks in the afternoon. It was usually from about 4 till 10 or 11.
Wow, and that's a really, really cool idea.
Really good paying job. When I left that job, I was making $22 an hour to sit on the forklift.
Wow.
And this was
a long time ago.
07, 08. So it was really good money.
Yeah.
It was hard to walk away, but the business was growing and I picked up some larger accounts that I couldn't step away from. So I just went in full throttle at that point.
Well, I just talk to a lot of guys all the time who are like, hey, how can I start my business but also have an income I need to do while I grow it? And I've never thought about a second shift job for those guys, because you can mow from 7 to 2 and then go and make your money and still have at least 7 or 8 hours of sleep, you know?
Yeah. At the time it was okay. I didn't have a family. I didn't have a wife.
Oh yeah.
It would be tough to be away from the family that much. I mean, I kind of feel like I am close to that now, but back then it was so much easier because I didn't have anybody that needed me there all the time.
Right.
So I suggest that for everyone too. Don't make that full step until you feel like you cannot do any more without working that other job. Don't step off that boat until you're there.
That's a great advice. So you started full time in 07, 08. You quit this job and started full time?
I was full time. I was working all day long doing my business, and then I worked part time in the evening. So I considered full time in 01.
Okay, cool. So what does that look like? Have you had now? You have three to four employees today. Did you go solo for 5 years? What, like, how long before you hired people and grew to a revenue? I'm guessing your revenue is what, 300, 400, 500 grand now?
Last year we were around 250. Okay. We projected about 300 this year.
300, awesome. So when did you hire your first person? And that's what we're going to talk a lot about today, because we've both had experiences with that, and you have a lot lately. So go ahead. Yeah, tell me.
So back when we were young, you know, you have all your friends that are still in the same situation. They're young. They don't have anybody they depend on. They're in college or looking for a job. So you could get so many people just come help you on the weekends. And usually that's what I did. My big job and my big mulch jobs, I have a best friend to this. He works for me at least one day a year now just to come out and feel it. But he helped me for a long time on his days off, just helping me mulch or cut grass, which was awesome. And that was a cash, you know, I paid him cash. So it wasn't really a payroll employee, but he was making some money and we were getting work done. In 05, 06 time period, my father had an injury where he hurt his back really bad, and he had a blown out disc. He had to have multiple surgeries. And from about 07, he was with me every single day just because he couldn't really do a whole lot. So he would go out and just sit on the mowers, and I would do the trimming and the blowing, and he would just ride. That's all he would do, which got him out of the house and made him a little bit of money as well. So to today, we've probably only had about 10 employees throughout the whole time total. I've had a few that were in the same year where I was trying to get some more help, and it didn't pan out. You know how it is. Yep, yep. No shows, not even calling, coming in high, other problems. It's just, we had to go through it. And, fortunately I haven't been through near as many as you. I know you mentioned on the podcast, you've had to have a couple hundred, maybe
about 100. Yeah. About 100. Yeah.
So I don't like that side of the business. I know I have to deal with it if I'm going to be in business, but
yeah,
the hiring and firing is not fun.
No,
we have to do it. I got to find the right people, and I'm too generous on people. I let them make mistakes, and I tell them what needs to be done, and I give them chances. But at this point right now, we have three guys that are full time. Two of them actually just came on 2 weeks ago. So it was just me and my two full time guys for the last 2 years. And then the one full time was with me for off and on for the last 5 years. So currently we're looking for a new lead guy. And that's going to be a tough situation because the market is thin on pulling people that are actually educated in it.
Everybody's got taken already.
Yeah.
Hey, are you comfortable sharing the crazy story that happened to you recently? You don't have to say details, but just so people know what you're dealing with.
So I know all markets are different. My market, my lead guy was making $18 an hour, and the laborer under him makes $16. So, this year his raise was going to consist of, a week's paid vacation. And that was going to be in the middle of the season whenever he needed to use it, 'cause they go on vacation every year. About a month ago, he asked me about raises this year, and I told him we're going to do them in the spring, like we do all the time. But, I would address it at a later point. And
so that would be an hourly increase and the vacation, or just the vacation, no increase?
So this year would be just the vacation.
Okay.
And really I base it on productivity and no callbacks. If you get callbacks, I'm going to address that at that time, but you're probably not going to get the raise that you were going to get. His last raise consisted of a $2 hour increase, and that was last year. Mm-hmm. That's when he moved up to kind of like the crew lead position, and we increased his wages $2 an hour. Okay. So that Monday he came into work and had a full day, and everything seemed fine. And then Tuesday morning he texted me and said that if he didn't get a raise, that the ultimatum was he's not coming in unless he gets a raise. And I took it hard because he knows that I was giving him a raise, but to tell me you're not coming in unless you get it immediately, I said, I don't know why you're giving me this ultimatum, but if this is the way it's going to be, I suggest you just bring your keys and your uniforms in, and I'll give you your last check.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to the shop that morning, he was there, of course, and he was driving about 30 minutes to come work for us every day.
Right.
And it seemed like things were good, but he got out of the car and come up and said that I took it the wrong way. And I said, well, you did give me an ultimatum. You said the ball was in my court. So I passed you the ball. This is it. You can't give me an ultimatum. And I think we need to end our business together. And he didn't take it very well. Cussed me a few times. Told me my business was going to fail. Told me that I couldn't handle it without him. And I said, well, the situation is you didn't think that you were fireable. And I just had to let you go. Because there's been cases in the past where he's told people that we work for and friends that I couldn't handle this business without him.
Mm.
And I never said nothing to him about it. I just kind of blew it over because I don't like confrontation.
Yeah.
Anyway, I told him, I said, well, I'll give you your check. You can come back tomorrow. I can send it through Venmo. And he ran his mouth a little bit and said, that's typical. That's typical you do. I said, I don't have any money on me right now. I don't have any cash on me. I can write you a check, or I can send a Venmo. He said, no, I want cash. And I said, well, you're going to have to come back for it. Hmm. At that point, he was driving out of the parking lot, and he was saying a few choice words. And I just threw up my hand and waved him off. He slammed on the brakes, got out of the car, come over to me and called me another name, and got in my face, and I got in his face, and he said, let's go. And I said, let's go. And he shoved me. Mm. And I wanted to so bad, brother, but I know my business is worth more than that. So yep. I said, just leave and don't ever come back. Wow. And I'm a big dude. I'm about 6'3", probably hovering around 290 right now. Mm-hmm. And he's a pretty big guy. It would have probably been a good little tangle, but I just didn't want that on my business. No. So I told him just to leave and never come back. Man, mm-hmm. I just don't need that. We have a security camera out front, and unfortunately, it didn't catch it. And I wish it would have, just for security's sake, in case there was anything to come out of this, but it didn't. And that's what happened. And I have not heard nothing else from him. I don't know if he's going to get out of this type of industry. He's been in it for a long time. He's been doing it for 20 years for different companies. He's good at what he does.
How did you decompress that? Is that one of those things where you go home and I know you're a man of integrity, a man of faith, and you love your wife and your kids. Did you go home and cry? Did you go home and scream? How did you process that?
So the text message came around 6 o'clock in the morning, and I usually get up around 5:45 and I get things together for my kids and my wife. And I usually cook them breakfast before I head out. Mm-hmm. And I head out around 6:45. So at 6 o'clock, I get a text message when I'm getting dressed for the day, and my wife's sitting beside me. I said, I got to handle this now. I got to handle it this way. And I ask her about it, which I do about anything about my business.
Love that.
I get her advice and her opinion because she sees it different. She don't see it every day like I do. She sees it from the back burner, how frustrated I am, how stressed I am.
Yeah.
She said, I think it's the right choice. She said, you got to be the boss. Mm-hmm. And I did. And that day, it didn't really affect me that day because I had to work all day. I mean, I had to go and do, we had a huge route to do that day. I didn't have him and my two new guys actually weren't there that day. So it was just me and my labor. And we went out and it was a 12 yard route and we got it done. And then I talked to her about it when I got home.
Man. So is this a guy that you didn't really have issues with other than like, had he been with you a while? Was this kind of out of left field a little bit, or like, was this a guy that always had something else he wanted all the time?
Yeah. For instance, he told another one of our friends that he needed a week's paid vacation this year. He needed insurance benefits and at least $20 an hour, or he was leaving. And that's probably been about a month ago.
Okay.
And he never mentioned any of this to me, and it was relayed back to me.
Yeah.
That's a good friend. I've been a friend with him since I was young, and he wants my business to keep going the way it is. So he just informed me this is the situation.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to give him the week's pay. That's where I had decided this year, but I seriously was contemplating another hourly increase just because I need a crew lead. I need a guy that knows my route. And I just don't think what I give him would have been enough, period.
Never, yeah, it's not going to be enough.
The 2 weeks prior, he got into overtime and about 10 hours worth of overtime. And on the Friday, because we try to do your 4-10s, it does not work like I want it to. But we do come in and 7:30 to 5:30 Monday through Thursday, and then Friday is usually a makeup day or extra day. And especially in the spring, they're working. They're getting 45 to 50 hours every single week.
No weekends, really? Almost no weekends?
not for them. If I have to do something on Saturday, then I do it on Saturday morning. I try not to work all day on the Saturday unless we just have a crazy rainy schedule.
Okay, that's good. That's better than most. That's better than most.
Yeah. And now I have in the past, don't get me wrong, yeah. You know, 3 years ago I had around 70 and then a large HOA, and I didn't have a single employee for about 3 months, and I handled it, but it was hard. It was really hard.
Yeah. I think I just had someone message me about this the other day. I think I need to probably do a whole episode on my 410s thing, because what I'm not saying that March, April, May, you don't work on Fridays. I'm saying that you can't really justify paying a guy $27, $28 an hour overtime pay on Fridays to mow, and you're going to burn them out. But if you, like my managers, we would do 7:30 to 1 on Fridays. So we come in and do stuff, but you're not doing stressful mowing projects. Or something I wish I had thought about beforehand and done better of was have all part-time people come in on Fridays. So like pastors who are off on Fridays who need to make extra money, like all these people, retired people. And I would have done a lot of work on Fridays. I just wouldn't have had my other guys do it. Or if like they were out in short hours, but it's just like the mowing. I don't want you to schedule mowing on Fridays. That's my big thing. Because if you do, you're setting yourself up for Saturdays so often. And because if you rain out on a project on a Friday, you can just move it to next week.
Right.
Hey, Miss Sue, we can't do your 20 yards of mulch. It rained today. We can do it Tuesday. She don't care.
But
when you get behind on a mowing route, there ain't no stopping until it's done.
Yeah, they're calling you for sure.
Well, that and you can't justify if it's weekly and you can't wait till Monday because then you're going to be back Thursday anyways.
I feel like the profit margin on mowing is so tight. And when you get into overtime, it's cutting you to bare minimum.
Totally agree.
For cutting grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some guys want to work overtime. They want that extra hours. And if we can do it, I mean, right now we're covered up. I think that's my problem. I got so many maintenance accounts, and we're just barely scheming by getting them done. If anything goes out of whack, equipment or anything like that, we're having a hard time getting them done in the week.
Do you keep an extra mower, extra set of everything to the side?
Yeah. So what I've been doing in the past is they were my maintenance crew, and they would go out and do about 50 of our properties by themselves, and then I would help them usually a day or two a week. We have a large HOA that's 120 houses.
Wow.
The clubhouse, the entryway, around the pool, all the thoroughfare. We do every single house in the neighborhood. So that's a job that we need at least 3 to 4 people on.
That's weekly? Is that weekly or biweekly?
We do it. It's a full contract. We do it every single week.
Wow. What's that range of pay? Don't tell me the exact, but what's that pay a month on average?
Between what? Between $6,000 and $8,000.
That's awesome.
So, fantastic. And we do a lot of other stuff for them. It's still being developed.
Yeah.
So every new construction that's finished, there's 18 lots, I believe, left. We get the full irrigation, sod, and landscaping on all of them.
Wow.
Which is a total different price. It's all priced separately.
Sure, of course.
We do all the turf. We do all the mulching, which was extra on that as well.
So we've talked about this offline, but let's now dive into like the issues with this employee field. And Dustin, I might say a couple things that I want to ask you. One, I would constitute a week PTO as a benefit, not a raise. So that might be something to think about.
Okay.
So, for example, and you could do it in a way where they accrue it, meaning like every 2 weeks, every paycheck, every week or 2 weeks, however you pay, they accrue 2 hours of PTO.
Okay.
That way they can't take the whole week and then quit.
Okay.
Right? So, if a new hire, you hire someone new, hey, man, your first year, you're going to accrue 6 days of PTO over the course of the year. It doesn't start for 30 days to show me that you're in it to win it.
Right.
And then every paycheck, you get X amount, you divide that up and figure out how many hours that is per paycheck. Okay. Because the fact is, if you're not offering paid holidays, at least the major five, and at least a week, if not two, of PTO, every other job offers that.
Right.
So imagine if that was you. I always told myself, if I didn't have PTO, would I be upset?
Right.
And I would be.
I think the issue with that is, I started my business when I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
So I never really had a career job, and I never was offered those benefits.
Sure.
So I don't know what that's like.
Right. Well, one thing I like about you, and we got to talk for like an hour at Equip, you're just an old school grinder, and I love that. Like, there's not a lot of guys like you anymore. You put your head down, and you're going to win today no matter what, because my family needs food on the table mentality, right?
That's it, 100%. 100%.
And I'm 30, almost 32, so my dad and mom, a lot of people don't know this story. I need to have my dad on the podcast again, but did you watch the episode with my dad?
So your dad's a business owner, but I did not watch that episode.
My dad and mom owned a car repair business for 35 years. And, okay. Both just high school education, very poor, you know, growing up, and they had a multi-million-dollar business just by hard work. They didn't do marketing. They didn't do anything. It could have been all, like, it could have been huge, but it taught me a lot. Like, watching that growing up, my parents are not any, I mean, they have no, I'm not going to say skills, but you know what I'm saying. Like, they're just normal people, and they made the American dream happen for them. So I, like, know exactly what that looks like. The thing that they realized, and this is why they end up selling their company, I started talking to them about, hey, you know, your body's not where it needs to be to keep this going, one. And two, you don't have a succession plan. You don't have someone to take it over. You just have eight employees who just work for you. There's no, you should sell it, you know, and get good value out of it. So what I'm saying is like, you got to think about those same things and learn lessons from our generations before us that we can apply to our business today. And that's probably a reason why you're not recruiting great people.
Right.
One of the reasons is, like, when you make a hiring post, if it doesn't say 2 weeks PTO, 5 days paid vacation or holiday, excuse me, like, why would anybody take that job? That's what the mentality is of most people.
Right.
Why would I take that job? So working for you sounds awesome, but you got to get them in the door so they can get to know you. And right now you got that barrier of entry of that. Number two is, like, the hourly thing is tough, right? Because where I'm at, I was paying crew leaders $18-$19 an hour. Same. Our markets are similar price, cost of living. I remember I was talking about that. Where people listening, now I got a lot of guys who listen in Pennsylvania and Ohio and stuff, and they're like, dude, 25 an hour is the bare minimum, right?
Yeah.
It's just a cost of living thing, y'all. Don't stop tripping. We're not underpaying people. But there's got to be, and I'd love to hear your opinions on this one for sure. We moved, I kept having guys who, like, talked about how much they made to each other, and I couldn't stand that, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So I moved to where we had tiers and titles. So, like, I think you've heard me talk about this, but have you thought about doing that in your business? So, like, hey, we give raises May 1st and September 1st. Don't ask. Okay. Like, I started saying, hey, there is no discussion. May 1st, September 1st. We give bonuses randomly if we think you're above and beyond. But here's when you want raises: May 1st, September 1st. May 1st, because that means you rode with me through March and April. And September 1st means you got through the hard growing season, right?
Yes.
And so then you go titles. You go, okay, technician level one, it pay range is this. So that way there's no more of that awkward conversation like, what am I worth? What are you going to pay me? It's like, hey, this is, you already know. It could be on a wall in your office. It's that transparent.
Right.
So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think that sounds good. So you based your raises on just their quality or their showing up on time?
Great question. I use the one word and then build off about four or five different things. The word I build the whole raise system off of is value.
Okay.
I don't care how long you've been here. If you're not getting better, you don't bring me more value. If you're not showing up on time, you're not. I don't care that you didn't call out for 2 years, but you were 5 minutes late every day. You're not bringing more value. Like, the whole raise conversation is value, value, value. Are you helping us be better integrity wise and culture? Are you getting better at your job? Are you consistently here? That is definitely a value that we didn't used to have to worry about, but now it is.
Yes.
So value, and then like off of that, I do like four tree branches and consistency, efficiency. So you can write it down. Consistency, efficiency, quality, I think would be one I would put down. Like, is your quality of work good?
Right.
And then the fourth one is culturally. Are you awesome to be around? Unfortunately, that's now a thing. Like, my parents, dude, their employees were with them for like, if I went and told you their 8 employees when they sold, they were there like 10 plus years, all of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And but it was awesome, but guess what? They weren't like very good, like friendly.
Oh, right.
So because that generation didn't care. Like, as long as I had a good job, like, I'll show up. Where now our company's like, you gotta like, those guys want to be around things that are positive. And I'm not saying that's a negative. I actually think that's a good thing, that you don't just want to, just because it pays good, you want to work there. Like, I don't think that's a good thing, right? So,
right. I agree.
Yeah. So wow. I think that's something that just, I love to hear your thoughts on, like, why you didn't offer. Is it a money thing, PTO, holidays? Like, do you pay them for Christmas Day?
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Jobber. If you guys do not use or have not heard of Jobber, it is the leading CRM in the green industry and really the home and service and trades businesses, period. I mean, they are just incredible for all of your needs for quoting, invoicing, scheduling, routing. I mean, it can do it all, guys. It's really, really important in today's day and age for you to be able to contact your customers. It has a portal for your customers to see requests, ask for requests, approve quotes. So it's just so good to use the CRM, and it's very affordable. They have different plans for different places in your business. So if you guys are looking to try out a CRM and you're sick of doing pen and paper, you might not even do pen and paper. You might be on another software that's just not meeting all the needs that you hoped, and you're just kind of making it work. Y'all check out Jobber. We've got 20% off your first 6 months with our link. And you get a free trial for a couple weeks as well. So make sure you guys check out Jobber. Please go and click it. It literally takes no time to just sign up and fiddle around and mess with it. You're not going to regret it. I ran my multi-million-dollar company off of it for 5 years, and it was a breeze, and our crew leaders loved it. So you guys go check it out and tell me what you think. Thanks, guys.
I do not. We usually work. We work right up till the day before Christmas, and then we only have a few days off, and then we go back at it. We do leaf removal until right at Christmas, our final cleanups, and then we get the one-offs in January. But usually we start mulching in January, and then we start treating lawns in late February.
Okay. So tell me, kind of fill me in. Why haven't you offered those couple things up to this point?
Part of it is finances. I think I'm a little underpriced on some things. And then the cash flow. I've never not made payroll. I've always been good and made the payroll easily. But then again, it's those values that you talked about on that branch. I did not want to give a raise, but oftentimes I felt like they didn't need them because it was the callbacks, and then after you tell them about them and the things don't change, and then the no show, no calls. I mean, I put up with it because I needed the guys.
Yeah.
But to not call me and let me know, hey, I'm not coming in tomorrow, or even that morning, hey, I'm not feeling good. Just call me, let me know.
Yeah.
And that happened often. Now, my lead that just got let go, he was here religiously. He never called out. He was here every single day. On time, usually about 30 minutes early. He had his own key to the shop. He'd come in, get situated, sit and chill. We have a little lounge area that's got a couch and a TV and some lockers, and they just sit in there and chill till I got there.
That's cool.
I usually got there around 7:20, and we got everything. He had everything ready, out the door ready at 7:25 most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were ready to roll, whenever the other guy got there.
Yeah, makes sense. I just think that, you know, for how old are you, Dustin? 45 now?
I'm 43. I'll be 44 in October.
What do you envision? I think this is an awesome question for everybody in this like 40s range, because you're now thinking about, man, what does this business look like 10 years from now when I'm in my 50s? And what does that look like for you? Are you nervous about it? Are you like, what does business look like in the next 5 to 10 years?
That is the biggest fear right now, is where we're going to be with employees. Mm-hmm. I need someone that can definitely run a maintenance crew or be over two maintenance crews. I like the landscape part. I got burned out many years ago on cutting grass every single day. I mm-hmm. love landscape. I love landscape design. I love the finished product. That's what I love to do.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be mowing. I want them to be able to take care of the mowing, and then me and maybe another guy go do a landscape, or go do landscaping all day long. And that's what I want to do. I want to build the turf side. I think it's easier to do if I had to do by myself.
Talking about spraying and stuff?
Yeah, spraying the turf, fertilizing.
Yeah.
And we have quite a few, but my goal this year was to build that to where, and advertise for it, to build it where it's its own identity. It's a whole complete, even a different name. I've already got a different name for it, a different website and all that.
Yeah.
And I just don't think I can get the people in place, so I didn't push it this year. I got boxes of signs made that I was going to put out, and then we were going to push some other ways of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't this year because I don't have the manpower in place for what I have.
I'm definitely going to have to drive up there in June and come like spend a day with you and see. I would love to see and talk through all this stuff, because I love that you're thinking about the vision for the future. I think it's really difficult to, especially like 6 employees and under. It feels like there's a threshold. Once you get more than 6 employees, you can kind of like, if one guy quits, you're still okay. But like when you have 2, 3, and 4, when you lose one guy, it's like 25% of your workforce. Those numbers get like, so I'm with you. It's so difficult to like grow past that.
That's one question I had for you. I know that your business built rather quickly.
Yeah.
And I guess you started with maintenance.
Yeah, we were 80% maintenance, 20% install at the end.
So at what point after you hired your first or second guys, did it feel like you needed to be away from that? You needed to be away from the mowing part and the build. You could do the building part or even quality control. I mean, I don't think I'll ever step out of the truck until I'm not able to do it.
Yeah.
Step out of the business. But at what point did you feel like you needed to step away at maybe a number mark instead of like an employee?
Are you asking when I put the shovel, weed eater, and mower down and I started being the production manager type role?
Correct.
I think it's a double-sided coin answer, meaning there's two sides to the one answer. It's around $500,000-$600,000 in revenue, and it's around 6 to 8 employees.
Okay.
Here's the reasons for that. It can't just be an answer. The reasons are is, one, you have to justify the cost. And once you start getting to that $600,000 number, you know, you are better served by doing more quotes, more training, all that stuff, right, at that point. One mistake people make that I'm really glad to hear you haven't made, and it's awesome that you haven't, is they get off the truck too early. I had one guy that I've been coaching, two guys who got off they had two guys and one crew, and then they got off, they stopped working in the field labor wise. And I was like, the math doesn't math with that. Like, you have to be paying yourself the $20 an hour you're paying the guy running the crew at that.
Right, right.
You can't, let's say it's 200 grand business, right? Let's say it's 200 grand. If you're paying that guy 45 grand in hourly wages, that's 25% of the revenue for the year that you can't make that up because your volume's not high enough.
Right.
So somewhere around that 500-600 grand number, we at the end of my second year, we did 450,000. And I ran the second crew, we had another crew, and then we started a third crew in the fall. And around that third crew, going into the spring is when I stopped, because the spring we got up to five crews. So, three crews or so. Once you got about three crews rolling every day,
so you can get off there. Next question would be, how did you handle that growth? Because it seems like it was pretty quickly. For me, for instance, for the first 10 to 15 years of my business, I hovered around 100 to 150,000 a year. And I was comfortable with that. I made enough money that I could provide for my family. I was pretty much solo. But we had a pretty good growth spurt right at COVID. And we went to the 250 mark. And we stayed there for the last 3 years.
A lot of people stay around that number statistically, by the way.
Okay.
Around 2 to 250 is like your average company that you see in town. Not the guy like smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
But like that guy's around 175 to 100, but your average company with a couple guys is around 250, just so you know.
Okay. And I felt like, in my opinion, being a solo operator in the lawn maintenance, you know, generally 80 to 20% lawn maintenance, 150 is probably about a max where you're going to be able to max out and not be working 7 days a week and still have some kind of life.
Yeah, solo plus like market. A helper, solo plus a helper type thing.
Just solo.
Oh, just solo. Shoot, you got to be crushing it to do that. I mean, the fact is this. This is what I like about maintenance but also hate, is you can project, because maintenance is all about time, you can project pretty quickly what your caps. That's how I grew so fast. I knew that crew, two guys equaled about X amount of revenue on my 410s model. With what I'm going to come out with soon is the slot system, which I created that I'm about to do a course on to show people. I think I created the slot system, and I haven't really talked about it that much publicly. It was a way for me to I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but it's a model that lays on top of your maintenance route that shows you a lot of things, key indicators. If you're full, if your route's full, if you're making the money a day you're supposed to be making, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to come out with a thing in June on that.
Okay.
But because of my slot system I created one night, because I was frustrated that I could early on that I couldn't figure out, like when I was doing my first year, and I promise this is a good story, but I was really frustrated when a customer would call me and ask me this question. They go, "Can you fit me in Thursday?" And I was frustrated that I couldn't just answer that. Like I had to think about it or like do some mental math. Well, we got Miss Sally's house and blah, 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 right?
Right, right.
And so I was talking to my wife one night, and I was like, that first year, I said, at the very end, I said, I should be able to look at a formula, basically, and know how long these yards take, here's how much time I have during the day, and tell them, sorry, we don't have a slot available. That's where the slot system came from.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And so, I couldn't do that. And so I created the slot system that night on my kitchen counter. Basically, I'll tell you real quick, since you're asking. I was doing the 410 starting the next year, in the 2018. So I said, okay, 2 hours a day is drive time and dead time. Dead time meaning getting your truck ready and all that stuff.
Yeah.
On average. So that means 8 hours a day I got time to mow physical grass. The mower should be on, right?
Yes.
Divide that by 30-minute intervals, because that's around the average size of a property. That means I have 16 slots that can be done that day.
Right.
If a lawn is 2 hours, that means they fill four slots. So you know how people ask you to quip how many properties you got or how many accounts you got?
Right.
It's actually a really dumb question, because if you have 20 accounts that take 5 hours each, I'd rather have that than 100 accounts that take 20 minutes each.
Right, right.
I'd rather have more slots filled by less customers.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes, but for some reason, our language has always been like, oh, you should have more, more, more. Sounds like it's better, and it's actually not.
Yeah.
What you really should be trying to do is fill the slots. And so you're tracking what I'm saying? So yes, we had 64 slots a week was the goal. And here's what's awesome about the slot system. Every slot should have a dollar value attached to it. So now I can project my revenue on that crew.
Yes. And I do that, but I do it until about 4 years ago. Everything was in my head. When I knew what needed to be cut, and it just got to be overwhelming. So we end up going with CMR or CRM. We went with Yardbook, and we've been with them since. But we're looking for better ways to change that because I'm still pen and paper on my route, and I know how many they can do a day. I know how long, say, Miss Betty's yard is going to take 30 minutes. I know that they can do 2 in an hour. And we have neighborhoods where we have quite a few route density, and we have them route together, and they can knock out 22 yards in a day. And I know that's a big day. So I do it the same way, but it's not slot.
Well, I'm going to share with you my slot profile so you can look at it.
Yes.
And what's great is then you can start using that language with your employees. Because one of the biggest issues, right, with employees is they go, bro, there ain't no way we can get all this done.
Yes.
Well, now you can show them physically. Yes, you can. Here's the slot system. There's 15 slots. They're full, and you should be able to get this done. Yep. And now they have a way to go, you know what? He's right. Instead of just in your mind making it up saying they should be able to, now you can actually prove it on the slot system. So the slot system is just really good for checks and balances, and it's like a litmus. I call it a thermostat. Like, it just measures the how your route is efficient and moving. And another great thing is, like I said, when you get a call, I always do on my slot system. I would pick Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'd pick one part of town to be each day. Yes. So when someone from that north side calls, hey, do you have are you taking new customers? Yes, we have a spot open on Mondays. You don't get to tell me when.
Yes.
So the slot system helps you like organize the location, and it helps you organize how many spots you have for that availability. So then why I scaled so fast with it is because then the slot system also tells me that I'm full and I need to start another crew. So instead of me guessing like, oh, I think I'm getting busy, I already know. Like, it's already told me.
I know it was probably easier at a later point when you had more revenue coming in, but at the younger point when you had one crew or two crews and you were going to add the full crew, how long did you wait? I mean, I know you have to have the clientele coming in. I know every spring we get busted with 25% growth and we can't handle it. So we know that we have to turn down these clients and send them other directions. But
that's why you should always assume based on your previous year's growth. So, like with me, at the end of year two, I had two crews and just got a third truck to start a third crew.
Okay.
I used the growth projection from the previous spring and said, okay, I know I'm going to grow 25%. So that's going to fill that third crew up another. I was already at 50% with that third crew I just started.
Okay.
Excuse me. So that's 75% full now with that 25% natural spring growth, right?
Right.
Now I'm going to do marketing and branding really well. That's when I wrapped everything for the first time. So I felt like my projection was I'm going to grow at least another 50%. So that's a fourth truck. So that was why I went from two crews to five. But then the fifth crew was the account that I had. They told me that they were going to double my workload. So that was the fifth crew. So the slot system and knowing your project, like, you should never turn away work.
I know. It's the hardest thing.
Well, I'm not saying you. I'm saying we.
Right.
So, like, we should know that we're going to naturally grow every spring and be prepared for that.
Right.
Because at worst, what we're scared of, right, Dustin, is we're scared. I love talking to you about this stuff. We're scared that, okay, I'm going to buy this truck and trailer and no one's going to call.
Right.
Has that ever happened to you in 20 years?
But I feel like we could grow if we had the manpower. And I know we're talking about employees right now. I know every single year that 25% is there guaranteed. And I don't do any marketing. Zero.
Yep.
I mean, it's all word of mouth. I post a picture every now and then on Facebook. But that is it. I don't do any Google.
Yeah.
listings. I don't do it. I have a basic, I personally made spot on the internet. It's just a spot. I don't even call it a website. It's a spot. You know what?
Yeah.
A step.
It's a land. It's a landed page.
Landed
yeah.
pad.
So here's what I would say about how to recruit better employees. Not find, but recruit. I know in my city, I just went to this cool thing the other day where it was like a block party. They shut the little town down.
Yeah.
And you could, for free, they were letting businesses have a booth on the street and pass out stuff. Bro, you should do all of those in January, February, March.
Right.
And go and have, you know, a banner with all of your benefits and the reasons why it's awesome to work there. Talk about, hey, 18 years old or 58 years old, we don't care.
Right.
And so that's a way to recruit, is get yourself in front of everybody you can for those 90 days. Number two is on Facebook, film some videos of yourself transparently talking about, I'm really looking to add great team members, we're a local, all those things, and consistently do it for about 30 days. Post it.
I did three here in the last month and a half.
Yeah.
And I felt like I got more calls than just a little doing an ad, but a lot of the calls were, they didn't pan out, you know, they didn't have a license or they didn't want to run on payroll. You know what I mean? Kind of like what we usually get. And it's not just us, it's other service industry. That's what they get. The calls, that's who they get to call. I feel like, during COVID, the people that wanted to retire retired because they didn't want to deal with the COVID. And the people moved up to their positions. The people that wanted to work took the positions that became available there. And then you kind of, that's why we're short staffed. I feel like we're going to have to offer more money. And that means we're going to have to increase our rates to pay these employees what they want to be paid. And like you were saying earlier about this younger generation, I feel like they do need that positive attitude all the time from you or to feel appreciated.
I had a mentor tell me last year, he said, business owners don't get to have bad days. And I was like, what does that mean? And he said, you get to have bad days at home. Yeah. You get to have bad days when no one can see you, but you're the face, the smile. You need to set the tone with everything you do with your employees, and you can't have a bad day. You can't have a meltdown. It's not good, you know, to do that.
I agree. But I've done it. I'm guilty of it.
I am too. 100%. 100%.
The guy that I just let go, he was employed by me when I lost my mom and my dad. Mm. So the next day or 2 days later, when we started working again, he saw that effect. He dealt with that with me.
I think that's a little bit different. That's terrible. I'm so sorry. What I'm talking about is like when a customer is upset with you and you go in the truck and you vent to them about it.
Right.
Like, you know, that's not their thing and it's not going to benefit anybody.
And they shouldn't have. That's why we are the business owners. They shouldn't to deal with that.
That's right. I'm not perfect at that either.
They see the anger.
They do. I definitely think that, like, for me, this is something maybe it might be perfect for you, Dustin. Maybe not. Tell me. But my last 2 years of owning the business, 22 and 20, 21 full year, 22, and then half of 23 before I sold, was the best employees I ever had by a lot. And I changed my mentality because I had a really bad week in 21 summer when I lost 7 guys in 1 week.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I got to go to the drawing board here. Something, you know, A plus B equals C. I'm not doing a very good job right now. What is the deal? And what I found out was I wasn't hiring the right guys because I was in my head, had the right guy in my head who was non-existent.
Okay.
And so I was looking for guys who 4 years experience and have a wife and kids and all these things, right?
Right.
And what I came to realize was my target guy needs to be realistic. It needs to be a 20-year-old who doesn't know what he wants to do, who wants to work here for 2 years so he can save some money to move to Florida because he wants to try to live in Florida. My perfect guy is a guy who is retired and or close to retirement or whatever, and just wants a good job for 35 hours a week. My perfect guy is the guy who's newly married and his wife works as a teller, and he doesn't know what he wants to do yet, but he thinks that he can grow with your company. Like that, I was looking for the wrong guy for a long time. So being okay with the 18 to 25 year old, that's your perfect guy.
Yes.
But it's hard to want to have that, because in our minds we're like, they're just going to leave. And then I started being realistic. If they're here a year, I'm stoked. That's my goal. Can I keep somebody for a year to two? Was kind of 1 to 2 years? Awesome. When I sold the company, 80% of the guys had been there over a year.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was cool. We had 20 full-time guys in the 18 in the field, two seasonal. And I think we had counted like 14 had been there over a year.
That's good.
So that was, I finally kind of found that person, you know, wasn't the 30-year-old guy who'd been working at 9 companies.
Yes.
Because guess what? If they left the other 8, they're going to leave you.
Yes.
So for me, that's something to think about, is being comfortable. And also think about this, Dustin, with you, specifically you. You'd be a father figure to a lot of guys. You'd be a great boss for a lot of these young guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, and that's what I try to be. I hired 2 guys straight out of high school 3 years ago, and my goal was to guide them, even if they weren't going to stay with me, guide them in the right direction, because they didn't know what they want to do. No one knows what they want to do when they get out of high school.
Yep.
And I told the guys, I said, listen, y'all have the best opportunity right now. There's so many. Just go in the service industry. Even if you don't stay for me, stay with me. The one I talked to his mom, and I told him, I said, if you want to go to the community college, I'll help you pay for it. Just stay with me and work while you're there. He ended up not staying. He went to another job, but they both left me the same week, and it was tough. Hmm. It was tough.
Well, guess what? High school graduation's in 3 weeks. You might have a new, have a new crop of people, bro. And that's where, like, we have a school right down the road from my house called the Kate Center, which is like career and technology.
Okay.
If you go in there, if I was still in business, I'd go in and get with them and be like, hey, help me get in front of these kids to see if they want to give landscaping a try for 2 years while they go to the technical school.
Yeah.
I think that's a genius idea. And of course, and here's what's great, because you can pay those guys 15 to 17, right? And that's good money for them, which gives you the margin to pay a guy who's 35 years old $20 to $25. Right. But here's where I think, I haven't looked at your numbers, but I feel like you have what every landscaper has, is the fear of raising prices and losing work. I bet you probably are 10, 15% too low.
I know I am. I am. And
so that's a conversation we'll have off air for, like, even if you lost 15% of your business, you raised 15%, you're actually at the same numbers.
Right. And I do want to get on your community group that you have that you'll meet, because I think it would be great to. I've been to the BNIs a few times, and I know it's completely different to what you're talking about, but just brainstorming with other people that are in the business that have been through it, even if they've only been a few years, they may have seen something that I haven't seen in my 23 years.
Yep. Yeah, it's been really powerful. Our group has been, like, I'm not just saying that because it's doing it. It's been way better than I thought it would be.
Good.
Because every week it's like everyone has a fresh experience they're going through. So there's something to talk about. There's something to learn. Today, one of our guys called me, and he just quit his other job to go full time, and he's been like pumped. Like, he's killing it. And his truck, his transmission went out 2 weeks after he went full time.
Oh, that's
tough. Guess what? This guy's really smart, and he has $30,000 cash in the bank.
There you go.
But, well, what's crazy is, and this is something with us, we're talking about finance this month, coming up Monday. He doesn't realize, because he's so conservative, how much money that is, and he feels very stressed, like he has $2,000 in the bank. So we get to have that conversation together and go, no, man, like, that's, you're in the top 2% of business owners with $30,000 in the bank.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
I talked to a guy the other day who has almost a $1 million business who has $5,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
I kind of try to be debt free right now. Currently, we are a debt free business. We don't own anything.
Awesome.
But we do need to purchase a new mower next year, and I'm hoping that we can just buy it outright, no problem. Mm-hmm. But then again, I like to have that cash flow in the spring because things get crazy.
The buying fertilizer by the pallet and all that stuff just soaks your money up.
Yeah.
Dustin, let me ask you one question before we wrap up, man. This has been so good. If you had one thing to say to somebody who's struggling in business right now, because we have hundreds of listeners to this show, and I'm praying that your response will touch somebody, what would you say to the guy who's struggling and needs some encouragement, advice, or, you know, he's about to quit, he's about to do worse things, you know, we never know. What would you say?
It kind of brings me back to a book that I'm listening to right now. I don't remember offhand what it is. He says that as business owners, we put our nose down and we just grind, no matter if it's taken away from our family or it's taken away from our friends. And we don't want to do that, but in that situation, that's what he needs to do. He needs to grind as hard as he can, and he'll pull through it. That HOA that I have, that's 125 houses, and then we have an additional 65 properties on top of that that we keep care of. 3 years ago, when I picked up that property, I was scared to death. And we pushed through that season, and then the following season, I didn't have a single employee in September.
Wow.
I still had to do it, and I did it. We got it all. I got the work done completely, and I made it till January, and then I was able to hire and get some help again. But if that would have been in the spring, it would have been even harder. Mm-hmm. But just keep your nose down. Keep on grinding. It will work out. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I pray about everything. I pray that I don't pray for things. And for example, I pray for the guidance to get there.
I love that, man. Dude, this has been awesome today, brother. I appreciate it a lot.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, I'll be up. I'm going to definitely message me about coming up in June sometime, because we want to come see you and Aaron at the same time.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'd like to get in touch with Aaron too. I saw, you say that I know he does marketing and things with you now, and that's definitely something I want to do when I get the manpower in place. I think it would be great. But I think it was probably about 8 to 10 years ago. It was in the winter, and he was in a neighborhood that I was in, putting flowers on every single mailbox. And now he's pretty successful. It took him and pushed him to that level.
Man, it was about 2.5 years ago he called me and asked, how do I get past this 250, 300 number we've been talking about?
Right.
And I did some calls with them, and I was like, man, marketing and hiring is the two keys. And obviously sales. Sales is the given, but I think the secret sauce is the marketing, understanding how to do it right. Not advertising, but marketing, a plan, a strategy.
Yes.
And then the hiring quality people. And I think he's tripled his business in 2 years.
Yeah, I see him out. I see his crews out. I see the trucks out. They seem to be doing okay. They got some people in place, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm proud of him.
I feel like.
But I'm proud of you, bro. I'm proud of you. Like,
Thank you.
It's not always rainbows and butterflies, and that's what I wanted people to hear with you today is like, 20 years of anything, especially the way you've done it with your family and your kids at heart, is not normal in this world we live in anymore. And so I know I can't wait to share with you the testimonies that people say, man, that episode with Dustin was awesome.
I appreciate it.
Guys, before we sign off, remember, if you want to contact us, it's alex@thegreenupacademy.com. Any email, anything like that. And Dustin, where can people connect with you on social media before we wrap up?
Penscape Landscaping on Instagram and Facebook, and Dustin@penscapelandscaping.com.
Perfect. Awesome, brother. All right, guys, this is the Green Up Academy podcast. We help you level up your green industry business one day, one moment, one mow at a time. We'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Alex.
Guys, we are officially launching our rebrand from Pure Marketing Agency to Backbone Creative here at the beginning of June. And we are a full service agency focused on blue collar and what we call backbone businesses that are the backbone of their industries, communities, and their employees. So if you are looking for a website, if you've been holding on and maybe renting your website, paying a monthly fee, and if you don't pay it, then they take it away. We've got website packages. We've got full service marketing packages, which comes with social media management, Google Ads management, reviews, email marketing, you name it. We do it all to help you do one thing. That's grow your business, get more customers, grow your profits and revenue, and tell your story to more people. So make sure you hit us up. Literally free quote, free audits of your websites, all that stuff. We're not pressuring you to do anything, but we know where our results come from, and they're really, really strong. So make sure you hit us up, Backbone Creative, guys. You can hit us up through Instagram website. It's going to be launching in a couple weeks. So you can email me at alex@backbonecreativecode.com. That'd be the best way, place. Or currently you can keep using our current website, but you're going to like the new rebrand, I hope, and can't wait to show you guys. Thanks.